The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. It's a beautiful day. Hey, Claude, how are you doing?
You know what? I have been better. I had, you know, somewhat of a difficult evening. Yes. I would say around 11 o'clock, I downloaded a new game on my phone. It's a billiards game where you play with strangers like from around the world. And it's fabulous. And it really got to me. I was up until 5 in the morning playing this game. I swear on my life.
I want to feel bad for you. And I was ready to hear about your rough night and share some sympathy.
Yes.
But that's ridiculous. Billiards.
No, I know. It was a very addicting game. I could not sleep. I had watched so much Mad Men all day. Like, my head was in 1960 New York, you know? Like, it was really hard for me to shake, like, all of the media that I had been processing over the last few hours. And the billiards was a welcomed relief. It's such a fabulous game. I'm, like, addicted to games on my phone. And this one is probably the worst I've ever been addicted. I'm still addicted to balls, too, with a Z. If you know, you know.
That's really bad. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no, it's...
Like, to watch TV all day and then be up till 5 a.m. playing a game, like, that's really bad. In the vein of what we spoke about yesterday, like, the addiction to technology.
Yeah.
It's concerning.
It's definitely worse when you and I are podcasting from home, because it just kind of feels like a mini vacation. Because even though we have to work, it's like, I don't have to do my hair and makeup. I don't have to go to our studio. Like, it feels very relaxed. I'm like, I can go to bed whenever I want. And I really can't.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel that way. Like, I feel like I wake up earlier when we do it from home because we want to get it out. I don't know. The only difference is that we don't put on makeup. But these days, I come home and take off my makeup. So it's just not a waste of makeup. But aside from that, I don't know. You got to get a little structure in your day, I think.
No, I've lost control over my life. And this is what rock bottom looks like, people. And it ain't pretty.
It's beautiful, Claudia.
That's right. It ain't pretty. It's beautiful.
Speaking of absolute beauty and something that might be the thing to turn your day around, how's Theo?
He's wonderful. He thanks you for asking. And he had a very busy morning. It's raining here in New York, which is a huge disturbance for us dog owners. It just makes our life so hard. So Theo got a really quick bath this morning. It's been a wild morning here at the Ashray Saffer household.
Wow, that's a busy morning. I can't wait to hear about how the rain has impacted Magnolia's day.
Yep.
On Snitch's Instagram story. Speaking of the Snitch, The Bachelorette comes back tonight.
Wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Whoa.
I want to say, like, it feels like it just snuck up on us, but it's literally been 8 months since Bachelor content.
No, I knew it was this week, but the fact that it's today and I'm eventually going to have to, like, take my TV and put it back on cable and watch The Bachelorette, like, that's hard. I mean, ooh, wow, you just really sprung that on me. I just woke up, Jackie. Like, come on, relax. Like,
I know. You have to prepare yourself. And that's only half the announcement, if you're ready for the other half of it.
Oh, no. What's the other half?
The other half is that since The Bachelorette is coming back tonight, The Snatchler is coming back on Thursday, which, for us big Snatchleritis fans, is so exciting.
That's probably the only good thing about The Bachelorette coming back. I'm feeling very conflicted, as I always do at the beginning of a Bachelor season, because I either am like going to stick with it or not stick with it at all. And the Tayshia on the horizon is making me want to stick with it. And I just feel like a lot of people, given the fact that like we're still like somewhat living like a weird version of life, I think a lot of people will be tuning in, and I don't want to have FOMO. It's just such a heavy lift, like on my part, every week, 2 hours a week, and then recapping it here, making the memes, like it's so much work.
Yeah, but you know what? I look forward to a welcome distraction and maybe like some content that will just unite us over like a shared hatred of someone,
yeah,
or love of someone. And I'm going to be watching it, and I look forward. That's a big statement, but I'm not dreading it as much as you.
Oh no, I'm like totally dreading it. I had a question for you about, what was my question? It was about, is it a story today about Luke P breaking his Bachelor contract and owing $100,000 to ABC?
No, but it could be.
No, well, now that we're talking about it, let's just bring that up. I think that's crazy. I feel like ABC talks hypothetically about, you know, their contracts and like people being in breach all the time. But this is the first time I've actually heard of someone legitimately being in breach and having to pay.
Yeah. So now that we're here, we can talk about it. He was ordered to pay $100,000 to Bachelorette producers because of him speaking out. I think it was the Reality Steve podcast that is what did him in. And I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I have to read the whole like report, but it feels like he's being singled out considering everyone goes on podcasts and talks smack.
100%. And I know that there are people who go on podcasts and say things and they get like a little slap on the wrist from producers, but I've never heard of anyone actually being like fully prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And that $100,000 is a lot of money that obviously ABC doesn't need, and Luke P probably does. I agree. It definitely feels like he's being singled out, because that's crazy. We've heard about this myth of Bachelor contracts and things they can say, can't say, but they're always like alluding to shit on podcasts and on social media, and everyone's really like flexible and willy-nilly with the contract. So I find this really shocking.
Yeah. Also, I didn't listen to Luke P's, you know, spilling the tea, but so I don't know what he said, but I feel like other contestants, especially most recently Colton, they've said like so much more damning things about the process, but I don't know what he said. So,
but I mean, Colton was very meticulous in doing it when he was out of his contract. Like that's when his book came out and all that stuff. And he was like very low for a while before his, contract was up, and then when it wasn't, he released that whole book. So I'm sure it has something, like the timing is everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I mean, this is crazy, and you know who suffers here?
Luke?
The podcasters.
Yes, because the interviews are just getting thinner and thinner.
Yes.
That's funny. Of course, it always comes back to the, you know, the hardworking podcaster.
Yeah, of course, and we're just constantly getting slammed, but we make do. We really do. We do do do.
We do do. Did you say do do? Do do.
No, I said do 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 to Theodora.
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 Oh gosh.
Yeah, you and I keep missing each other because we're on FaceTime, you guys.
If when we're synced up sounding, it's gonna sound bad on the podcast.
Really? I don't think so. Let's try it one more time.
Yeah.
Three, okay.
Two, one.
Do, do, do.
Why'd you slow down?
You waited a second on the FaceTime.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I didn't.
One more time.
I didn't.
Three, two, one.
Do,
do, do, to Theodora.
Do, do, to Theodora.
Do, do, to Theodora.
To Theodora.
Oh, do, 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 to Theodora.
What'd you do that for?
You. We did it late. By the way, in my AirPods, you and I are singing at the same time. So you know what? We need to move on.
Yeah, we were. Until I said an O, and then you did an off
O. So literally, for the first two do-to-dos, you and I were not in my AirPods, even remotely close together. And then when I sang... Okay, whatever. We're boring people. Let's just dive right in.
Okay. Are you ready for the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast?
And I am, but I'm feeling sick to my stomach. I'm just disgusted. And it's because, like, it would be really wrong of me to keep this a secret for much longer Today's episode is brought to you by probably one of the most fabulous sponsors that have ever graced this show, Margaret M. Mm-hmm. In today's hectic lifestyle, women want to look and feel good with ease, but without compromising style. Margaret M. offers a line of pants, skirts, and shorts that are versatile, easy to wear, complements a woman's figure. Women that have already discovered their slimming pants immediately fall in love and say that it's the most comfortable, flattering pair of pants they've ever worn. The actual term they use is addictive. They say the same about their shorts and skirts. What makes these magical is the memory stretch fabric and fit. You will never feel or look better, whether at work or play. Yes, Jackie and I both have pairs of pants and skirts from Margaret M, and I don't know what they're putting in their pants, but it's like magical pants crack. It's so stretchy and slimming, but without looking like leggings. Like, they're very formal pants and shorts,
but they look tailored but not like trousers. And I've worn a number of them on the show, and I always get so many questions. Their magical pants crack. They feel like butter, and they make you look like the professional that you are while also being the comfortable queen that you are.
Yeah, Margaret M. didn't really want us to tell you guys about the secret MPC, magical pants crack, but we just thought it would be important because that's exactly what it is. It's like literal, like, magic. It's like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. They're just like, they look good on everyone. They look good on Jackie. They look good on me.
Yes.
And it's fabulous. They're all available in sizes extra small through double XL, and they have plus sizes 1X to 3X depending on certain styles. They're super versatile in their designs, and they're easy to wear at work or even casually. You just pull them on, no zipper or button, which I love. The garments can be put in the washing machine so you can say goodbye to expensive dry cleaning bills. They're really fabulous, and if you want to get 20% off your first order, and to top it off, a free face mask. I wore one of their face masks a few weeks ago, and I got so many DMs of people asking me where it's from, and it's free in your order when you go to margaretm.ca. That's margaretm.ca, margaretm.ca, 20% off your first order. You got to use the code TOAST, though, so margaretm.ca, code TOAST for 20% off, and the free face mask I was just talking about, code TOAST, and they also offer hassle-free returns if you are not satisfied. Don't miss out.
Love it. Sign on, get your magical pants crack.
MPC.
Okay. Before we get into the Fast Five stories, I want to let you know that, like, most of them are relationship news, and it's not looking good, you guys. First up, Jonah Hill and fiancé Gianna Santos call off their engagement of just over a year, sparking rumors that justice for Ruthie will be served.
Yes, I have seen the reports, kind of predicting, like, different business analysts, that justice for Ruthie might be on the horizon, and that made me really, really excited. And if you're new here, we have to give you some background. I got so many DMs, like, of the Us Weekly, like, they broke up, justice for Ruthie, because it was such a crazy turn of events, and I feel like it really was probably the last good thing that ever happened in our Facebook group.
No, it was like one of the first, oh no.
The first bad thing. By the way, it wound up being
a bad thing. The first bad thing that happened in our Facebook groups, yes.
So there once was a girl named Ruthie, and she was a lovely, beautiful young gal, fun-loving, living in New York, and she had ran into Jonah Hill on the street. And they didn't say anything to each other, but she, like, couldn't believe that she saw him. And she actually had a really inspired idea to DM him and be like, I think I just saw you on Bleecker Street. And, you know, she's so cute and exciting, and I'm sure her picture was very inviting, that Jonah Hill not only responded, but responded not on, like, a fan level, but on an intimate, like, friendship relationship level. And they were, like, DMing and, like, maybe going to go out. And Ruthie, because she's a smart girl with good taste, leaned on her toasters in her favorite Facebook group to help her, you know, it's hard to talk to a celebrity. It's hard to talk to a boy in general, but to a celebrity, there's a lot of pressure, especially in this, like, weird DM format. So she ran to the toasters looking for guidance. And at first, of course, the normal people, the toasters, were so helpful and welcoming and inviting and secretive, because she doesn't want to look like she's being thirsty, and she wasn't being thirsty. She just needed help in a time of dire crisis, okay? And, of course, all good things must come to an end, because some hooser took screenshots of what was going on in the Facebook group and DM'd them to Jonah Hill and was like, just want to let you know, like, your girl Ruthie is out here tripping. And, of course, Jonah Hill, who clearly checks his DMs far too frequently, saw the screenshots and was immediately put off by Ruthie and wanted nothing to do with her, when it actually could have been the greatest love story of our generation. So it was really, I mean, I can go into, like, a whole tirade about how that person who DM'd Jonah Hill, like, I think that you are the actual biggest piece of trash. Like, I just, you are the type of person, like, if you're hearing this, you probably don't listen to this podcast anymore. You're definitely giving me former toaster energy, FTE.
100%.
But if you are listening to this, like, you are the worst. Oh my God. Like, ugh, you are not a woman who supports women. You are just like such a little shit stirring potster. And like, you fucking ruined this for Ruthie. And you also ruined it for us. Like,
you did.
Everyone was so excited. Everyone was being discreet. Like, we were cool back then. Like, we knew how to handle things like this. And it was just really, like, the first symptom that the group was really problematic, because that was, like, the loseriest thing that ever fucking happened. Ruthie got destroyed. Her relationship with Jonah Hill got destroyed. And now we're thinking there might be a second chance. And I don't even know if Ruthie's a toaster anymore. This was, like, such a long time ago. But Ruthie, if you're listening to this, like, go for it. This is the sign you've been looking for from the universe. Like, Ruthie, it's your time. Go for it.
Yeah. And you can tell him, like, there's no more group. Like, you've learned, Snatcher learned your lesson.
Yes.
You see, like, he was with another woman, and you've been waiting for this moment. Well, maybe sound, like, a little less sad,
desperate.
You know what to do, Ruthie. But here are the deets, okay? Jonah Hill and his fiancée, not Ruthie, have ended their relationship a little over a year after getting engaged, People confirms. A source tells People the split was amicable between the two. After Gianna would find Jonah,
it's very hard.
In the night.
What?
Sleep talking in the night, asking, "Where's Ruthie?"
I thought you were serious. I'm like, how does People magazine have this information? Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, no, she definitely came between them. Like, it was a wedge that couldn't be ignored.
Allegedly, a woman named Ruthie, who is beautiful, stunning, and smart, and a fan of the morning toast, was never far from Jonah's mind. And Santos, 31, had to move on.
That's devastating for Santos. Says. But, you know, when true love comes like this once in a lifetime, you can't ignore it.
Yeah, that's what the article says, at least. So, who knows?
Back to this couple, just in general, I feel like they were so random and they happened so fast. And I'm not really shocked at all that they got... that they broke up, but, you know, my heart still beats for Ruthie and Jonah. And that's when I wake up every morning and I'm like, you know, go to bed every night, I say my prayers. I think of Ruthie and Jonah, like, I keep them in my heart. You know, when you're just like really affected by a couple, like, their love is like inspiring and it stays with you.
Yeah.
That's what I had. And so for us, Ruthie and Jonah stands, for us, Rona stands. For us, Rona stands. This is an exciting time because the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, when I go down to my port of all my ships in the harbor, I keep a ship for Ruthie and Jonah. I never let it sail.
Now, I have a question for you. Can you give us, like, a guided digital tour of your port? Who else is down there?
Oh, of course. Sure. I thought you'd never ask. So I have my most major ships, you know, my forever people. I would say, like, what's most, like, and those ships are stored in the back, and you don't really see them so much, and they're not as interchangeable. But, like, these days, like, Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Kelly, they have a little ship.
It's getting bigger, too.
It's getting bigger, too. And another ship that we had that actually might be sinking is Lily James and Chris Evans.
By the way, can we talk about that story? Is that a story?
Yeah, that's actually the next story, if you want to get right into it. That's actually a sickening segue.
It's so strange.
So strange. Dominic West and his wife insist that their marriage is strong after he's spotted with Lily James. Dominic West and wife Catherine Fitzgerald insisted in a handwritten note shown to paparazzi that their marriage is, quote, strong, and kissed for photographers outside their family home after pictures emerged this week of West getting cozy with actress Lily James in Rome. The note read, "Our marriage is strong and we're very much still together. Thank you." So, for those who don't know, Dominic West starred in The Affair. He played the worst character on TV of all time, named Noah.
He's also in The Wire.
Allegedly,
I've never seen
that. What's crazy about this story is it's really like life imitates art, yes, sort of thing. Making Lily James Allison and Catherine Fitzgerald. What was his wife's name?
Helen.
Maura? Oh, Helen.
Her name is Maura Tierney in real life.
Okay, Helen, yes.
Yes. No, to me, there's so many weird elements about this story. I think the most horrifying one is the fact that they hand wrote a letter on a piece of, like, printer paper with a Sharpie and, like, gave it to the paparazzi. Like, don't you have a publicist? It's called a statement. Like, they're taking, like, they're just being so extreme and, like, primal about a statement. I think it's so funny. Second of all, life imitating art. Definitely a weird thing about here, about this story. There has always been something weird about Dominic West. Allison, who was on The Affair, who was like one of the main characters, like literally disappearing in the night and like never coming back to the show. There was so much weirdness, especially towards the end. And he just gives me very, very weird vibes. It's obvious that they have some sort of arrangement, you know, and that's their marriage, because you don't get caught kissing another woman and then you don't like stand by your wife and say that your marriage is great and she's there kissing you too. That's just not how life works. So it's obvious that they have some sort of arrangement, but like Lily James is fabulous and young. And what does she want with this smelly old man?
I don't know. Maybe she didn't watch The Affair, so she doesn't, like, hate him as much as we do.
Hate.
Hate, hate, hate. They're currently working together on the set of a period drama, The Pursuit of Love. Also, as I said, last we heard from her, she was linked to Chris Evans. And I think that I think you and I differed, if I remember correctly. Like, you thought this was just a flash in the pan, and I thought maybe, like, a ship was starting to set sail. But it's clear that you were right, and I was wrong.
But you know what? Like, her and Chris Evans, like, that makes sense. Like, that is an appropriate pair. Like, they're similar fame levels, similar age. They're kind of similar looking. I could see those two hopping to bed, you know? Like, I could see it. But this Dominic West thing leaves me very confused and with lots of questions, because it just makes absolutely no fucking sense.
Yeah, when I saw the story I sent it to you, I just thought it was, like, beyond crazy.
Well, also, it's crazy to get caught taking, like, making out with someone, like, via paparazzi.
Yeah, they were, like, at lunch in the public, just kissing each other's necks. They were on a romantic getaway to Rome. Like, this isn't, you know, Justin Timberlake holding hands that one time.
No, but that was crazy, too. I think about that all the time.
Yeah, but this isn't, like, this was really premeditated affairdom.
It was a date.
It was a date on a romantic getaway to Roma.
Well, we'll keep you updated on what happens here, but all parties involved are fucking weird.
Agreed. Okay, next story, a little more relationship Splitsville news, one that I did not see coming. Bethany Frankel splits from boyfriend Paul Bernan after 2 years together.
I'm so upset by this.
Bethany and Paul Bernan have called it quits after 2 years of dating. Page Six has exclusively learned they broke up a couple weeks ago and are saying it's because of distance. But you know, Bethany, a source told Page Six. What a mean source.
Holy, who's the source? Ramona?
Oh my God, that is so crazy. Well, now I don't believe the story.
Yeah, I mean,
if that's the source.
If it is true, I'll be really, really upset. I feel like Bethany is someone who just deserves happiness in a relationship, and she deserves a healthy relationship. She's been in so many toxic relationships, and she's still like a very strong person. And I really actually thought this guy Paul was going to be it for her. Like, they had such a happy life. Like, he's just as successful as she is. They travel to Italy, they do philanthropy. Like, it's a rich person's dream. And if it's not working out, I'll be really, really sad for her.
Yeah, me too. Now I feel like the story's probably true, but I just, now there's a hole in it based on this bitchy source.
Yeah.
But I also, I too thought that this was endgame for her, and there was a ship involved, I'm not going to lie.
No, it was a big one, because they're both super wealthy, and they were always on yachts. Like, it was a big ship for me.
They bought their boat, and they just docked it in my port.
This is a tough loss, I'm not going to lie. I'm probably, like, one of Bethany's biggest fans. Like, I just really want good things for her. Mm-hmm. And in her personal life, I feel like these good things are far and few between. Few and far between.
Yeah. Few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully if this is what went down, it's what's best for Bethany and that she finds someone even more suited for her.
Yeah, like, he lives in Boston. It's not the biggest deal. When you have private planes at your accessible to you, Boston to New York is like uptown to downtown.
Yeah, it's like a 45-minute flight. That's like a 45-minute car ride to go see your man's.
Yeah, no, sometimes, like, if I'm going, like, all the way downtown, it could take me 45 minutes.
Yeah, that would be like dating someone who lives in New Jersey.
Hoboken, yeah. That's long distance.
Totally. Ooh, sorry. I just got choked up because this next story really hurts me. Because Kelly Clarkson is saying that the past few months have been horribly sad during her divorce.
Oh.
Quote, it's the worst. So, Kelly Clarkson is being careful of everyone involved in her ongoing divorce from Brandon Blackstock during what she says has been a horribly sad time. The singer spoke to Entertainment Tonight about being open when it comes to sharing her personal experiences with fans, while also balancing her loved one's privacy. Clark's and his mom to daughter River Rose and son Remington Alexander, as well as a stepmom to her ex-husband's children from a previous marriage. She said, "The thing that's been kind of hard to navigate is I'm an open book, but at some point I'm a mama bear more than I am a person in the public eye. So I care 100% more about my children than I do anything else on this planet." So that's been the hard thing of, like, yes, I'm willing to share my experience, and yes, it is the worst. I mean, the past few months have been horribly sad, but at the same time, I have to think, like, what I say has a domino effect in other people's lives.
Yeah. It's tough. Yeah. I mean, Kelly Clarkson is just, like, truly an American idol, literally. Yeah. And I just feel like when you get divorced at that stage, like, with kids and, like, everything is so complex, it's probably so difficult. And I feel like that's what Marriage Story was, like, trying to emulate. But you know who did it better than Marriage Story is Betty and Don Draper. Like, seeing, like, you being happy in your own life, but then also seeing, like, your husband move on and, like, having to split your kids and, like, now your kids love the stepmom. Like, it's hard. Like, I can imagine that's very difficult. And Kelly Clarkson is just so strong and she works so hard. And we just, like, we need happiness for her and we need inner peace for her.
Yeah, we really do. And I'm sure she's on her way there, but there's going to be some bumps in the road. And us Kelly stans, we support you, Kelly. If you're listening, somehow you've ended up in the wrong podcast app in the store. We support you.
Yeah, we're unwavering. And I think that I just love her. And, I, you know, I feel like she's probably more open than ever because now that she's like a daytime talk show host, she's in people's living rooms. People feel very close to her and she's probably opening up on her show and just like when she's doing press more now than she ever has about like personal stuff and just like what's going on in her life. And I appreciate that that doesn't stop with her divorce, even if it's just to let us know like, hey, I have kids. I'm not talking about this.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so I think that's what she's probably trying to do here. It's like, please respect my space. And as Kelly stands, we have no choice but to respect her space.
Consider the space. You know what?
Respected. And as like the number one Kelly fan in the world, like I don't need like, if I don't need it, no one else does. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Sometimes when you're like so obsessed with someone and their relationship is like a huge part of like why you're obsessed with them, you feel like you need to know what happened. But in this particular situation, I think we can all kind of take a step back and give Kelly respect and space because I don't need to know. Honestly, I couldn't pick her husband out of a lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
Like if he was standing next to like a bunch of like guys in a bar in the middle of Idaho, I wouldn't have any idea that he was famous or rich.
Yeah, well, he's not famous.
Well, we're talking about him.
I guess. But yeah, no, I don't know what he looks
and
like.
And is he the one who's Reba's son? Or that was her previous?
Yeah, so he was Reba's stepson, but she broke up with her mans that connected her to him.
Right, and now she's running around town with, who was it that we reported on?
From, Fast and Furious.
Oh, right. He was like a no-name cutie.
A no-name cutie who has a familiar fox.
Yeah, and CSI. Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah,
I remember.
CSI. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Mad cute.
Mad cute.
Okay, are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Sad. Yeah.
So sad. It's always sad when it's the fifth and final.
Yeah, make it a good one.
Oh, shit. Pressure's on. I don't know if I delivered. But Patricia Field is sharing the stories behind her Emily in Paris outfits. What do you think?
Wow, that's...
Or should I scramble?
That's should bleak. A bleak...
Should I scramble for another one?
No, it's okay. Is there anything interesting in the article about Emily?
Well, not about Emily, but about the inspiration for the outfits. And I actually didn't know that Patricia Field did the wardrobe for the show. And I think that wardrobe is one of the biggest conversation pieces about the show.
I agree.
And I also do want to talk about the show like a little bit more.
Okay.
If you're interested.
Always.
Not that I think that my opinions have changed. I just want to like restate them maybe in a different frame because I feel like people think that we hated the show and like there's absolutely nothing to hate about the show. Like it's a perfectly fine show.
I think
there's just nothing to love.
I think people think that you hated the show, but I have this relationship with it where it's like it pushes my buttons, but I cannot wait for the next season. Like I'm very much a fan of the show, but I definitely think it needs some work. And I'm sorry, I'm critical of the things that I care about. And that's just on period.
You really can't wait for the next season?
Yeah, no, like when it was over, I was like, damn, I wish we had a second season right now.
Oh my God, when it was over, I was like, finally, back to a place to call home. Okay, anyway, legendary costume designer Patricia Field is the brains behind the unforgettable outfits from Sex and the City, The Devil Wears Prada, Younger, and more. Most recently, she teamed up with Darren Star again for Emily in Paris. She says, I visualized Emily as an optimistic young professional who was happy to have an opportunity to work in Paris. She tries to adapt to French chic while still expressing her American identity. To that end, Emily often punctuates her everyday looks with berets and even sports an Eiffel Tower printed top by Alice and Olivia to her first day on the job at French luxury marketing company Savoir, a move that, according to Field, expresses on one hand her naivete and the other her excitement for this work opportunity. I actually loved her first day of work outfit and that she was wearing something that had an Eiffel Tower on it because, like, I feel like that's something an American girl in Paris would do.
Yeah, to be honest, like, the wardrobe was probably, like, the best and worst part of the show for me because it was so sickening. And, like, most of it was really just cool. But then part of you is, like, having a hard time suspending disbelief. And it's like, okay, she is, like, an account executive. She just moved to Paris. How does she have a new Chanel bag every day of the week and, like, a couture gown to wear to all these galas? Like, it makes no sense. But that was also something that I feel like Sex and the City had. And I feel like I keep comparing the two, but it's really just because Patricia Field did Sex and the City. Darren Star did Sex and the City. But, like, Carrie, like, literally couldn't, you know, find two nickels to rub together, but she had 1,000 pairs of Manolo Blahniks.
Yeah, I agree with that. And to some degree, I'm okay, like, suspending disbelief. Like, her wardrobe doesn't have to totally match up to, like, her approximate salary. But to have a, like, very niche, specific, unique Chanel bag for every Chanel coat that she has, it's just unbelievable, not to be believed.
And then, like, walking out of her apartment, from what I'm told, in one of, like, the best, most expensive residential Parisian neighborhoods. You know, it's like, how does that add up?
Oh, is that what you're told? Well, that actually kind of adds up because it was supposed to be
for her boss,
the apartment for her boss. So she, like, got a suite situation.
But who's paying for the apartment?
The company, no?
I don't think so.
She said in the beginning of the show that there was, like, a moving stipend or whatever.
Yeah, like, because you have to pack up your shit and move, and, like, it's expensive to move. I think that's what a moving stipend is. I don't think they pay for your apartment.
Okay, interesting. Patricia Field also said the ballet outfit was inspired by Audrey Hepburn, which I totally see. Lily Collins really does look like Audrey Hepburn. That was a beautiful outfit.
The perfume party where she was, like, wearing that black strapless, like, teacup-length dress. You know how I feel about teacup-length, but it was sickening.
Oh, wow. We'd love to see that. Also, you know what I wouldn't mind seeing in a show like this?
What?
Some outfit repetition. I know that's, like, not, I know that goes against the point of the costume
design. A wardrobe
designer,
yeah.
I think that really would make it more realistic.
Yeah, I think I've been trying to put into words, like, why the show, it's kind of been, like, this polarizing thing. Like, people are talking about it, like, how it's so cringy and it's, like, what all these things, but that they also love it. And I can't figure out what it is that makes the show so, like, bad but also good. And I agree that at some point it's, like, far too unrealistic in just the logistics of the show. And I know that's not supposed to be a factor, but it's just, like, we're supposed to see ourselves in Emily. Like, we're, like, young girls who work in media. And it's, like, I cannot relate to this bitch on any fucking level.
Yeah, I agree. For me, it just, it comes down to the fact there's no heart and soul. There's no depth. I need something, an emotional connection to the show, and there was none. So yes, it was pretty to watch, sure, but when you're coming off of A Place to Call Home, you're gonna need for more. I also think that it was released at the complete worst time it could have possibly been released.
She said what she said.
I said what I said. Anyways, interesting to hear that Patricia Field did the design.
Yes.
Page Six Style has a whole interview with her if you want to learn more about her inspiration behind Lily Collins as Emily Cooper.
She's incredibly talented. Does she do the younger wardrobe as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, Darren Star, like, likes to keep her employed.
I think the younger wardrobe most of the time completely hits the nail on the head in terms of New York City young professional working girls.
I completely agree. And I think also they really hit the nail on the head on, like, what people in different boroughs wear. Like, how they dress everyone when they're in Brooklyn and how they dress everyone when they're in Manhattan.
Yes, and also I think she completely hit the nail on the head in how she dresses the characters, like, transition from day to night, going from, like, working to, like, drinks at, you know, their women's club.
Yeah, I love Younger. That's, like, probably one of my favorite shows. I can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah, I love it, too. Who does Sutton Foster look like that we just watched?
Oh, she looks like Maya. We thought she looked like Maya from Selling Sunset, but people didn't agree. Oh, also, we didn't talk about yesterday, but another story to just shove in really quickly. Davina has announced that she's leaving the Oppenheim group, and so what's happening with season 4 of Selling Sunset is very much up in the air.
Okay, I saw that. I didn't think it was, like, merited Fast Five, but Does that really change the show at all? I feel like Vivina was always a, like, friend of Housewife.
Yeah, she was, like, a secondary character, always.
Yeah.
This season, she made a name for herself by being a huge bitch, but until then, she was fucking irrelevant.
Yeah, she was just friend of
Christine.
Saleswoman. Friend of realtor.
Yeah, F-O-R. So, I don't think it's, like, going to really affect the show whatsoever.
But what about her $80 million property?
I don't know. That was crazy. Maybe she'll take it. She has her broker's license. She'll take it out on her own. Yeah, who's really going to want to buy a house from that? I don't know how you have, like, a successful, like, a really, like, I don't know, actually. There's such a fine line. Like, in real estate, I feel like you can be on TV and it's not, like, tacky and it can really help, like, build your business. Like, all those million-dollar listing LA and New York people are incredibly, they make way more money doing real estate than they do from the show. Like, and the show is really good for their business. But sometimes I feel like going on the show dilutes your business, depending on what field you're in.
And it depends on the show, too. Like, I actually don't think that it has diluted the Oppenheim group. If I lived in LA or I was wanting to buy a house in Sunset, I would, that would be my first stop. I don't know of any other realtors out there.
Hello, Mauricio.
Oh, that's true. I think that, but he's also on a TV show. So if I'm going to be judgy about that, I might as well go to the Oppenheim group and ask for Christine directly.
Of course. Christine is buying my next home in LA.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the show, on the people on the show. And I think that Selling Sunset has not diluted Oppenheim Group. And I think that the show has been a great platform. Assuming these houses actually are for sale,
right.
It's a great marketing tool. And they're all about marketing, these Oppenheimers.
Yeah.
And more people are seeing their properties, assuming these are real properties.
I just, like, don't want to look into, you know, the validity and the...
me neither.
Because I know I'll be disappointed that, like, the whole show is fake, all the houses are fake, none of them are actually for sale. Like, million-dollar listing, like, New York. I know a lot of people who, like, have lent their apartments to filming. Like, those apartments were never for sale. So I know a lot of it is scripted, and I just don't want to look into it because I like to pretend. Let me pretend.
Yeah. The house that I loved that Mary sold, do you remember with that girl?
Emily?
Apparently, she already lived there.
Yes.
And they just, like, did that. Like,
and
that,
I found her Instagram, and I sent it to Jackie.
Yeah. Oh, good times. I miss the Selling Sunset days.
Yeah, well, my days of Mad Men are truly numbered. I'm so, like, I think, I don't even want to look at the episode numbers because I'm, like, very in on season 7. I've just been, like, analyzing all the characters, and I need your help. Because I was, like, sharing my thoughts on social media and, like, nobody agreed with me, of course. I always feel like I, like, have the opinion of the majority. And when it turns out, like, nobody agrees with me, not even, like, the minority, nobody. But I feel like, and what I gather from my DMs is, like, we are supposed to love Peggy. She's, like, the champion. She's, like, the little engine that could. Yeah. She made it
all
the way.
She's, like, the protagonist.
Yeah. And you realize that because you eventually stop rooting for Don. Like, you're... First, like, your POV is always from Don, and, like, you actually really want him to succeed, especially in the professional world. And then for me, it started, like, on a personal level, I did not care about him. Like, I wanted him to lose. I wanted Betty to win. I wanted him to be angry. And then that started to translate to the professional world when it's like, you know what? Don is, like, not good at his job. He's always in the office but can never be found. He's constantly fucking things up. He doesn't care about the partners. So it's like when they put him on that leave of absence, you're like, good. I'm not now rooting for him to fail. And I think that energy I once put into wanting Don to succeed is supposed to transfer onto Peggy because she is, you know,
a real up-and-comer, and she's got the ideas, and she won the catch-up.
And she did it all, you know, as a woman, which in the 60s was virtually impossible. And we're supposed to, like, love her. I can't stand her. Like, everything about her bothers me, from the what she wears to how she talks and just everything. And I just don't. I don't know what it is, and it's like maybe there's something wrong with me as a woman. I need to get my vagina checked because I feel like I'm just supposed to love her, and I don't. I love Joan. I think she's absolutely everything of the sort, and I love that she fucking made it as a partner. I love her, but I don't think we're supposed to, like, love, love, love Joan. I think we're supposed to love, love, love Peggy.
I don't know. I think Peggy's, like, there's something in Joan that inspires deep love or otherwise.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, inspires strong feelings. I think Peggy is meh, really. And I also think that your opinion of her character is biased due to the actress who plays
her. Yes, I was just going to say there's something about Elizabeth Olsen that is so inherently unlikable.
Moss.
Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. I keep saying that. Peggy Olsen, Elizabeth Moss. There's something about her that's so inherently unlikable that it's a deep character flaw for Peggy, the fact that she's played by Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that they chose her. Like, they knew what they were doing. You know? I don't think she's meant to be super likable, but I do think you start to like her more. Her ideas are really good. Like, if a campaign falls onto her desk, like,
it's in good hands.
Out of the park. Yeah.
She's very reliable.
You respect her professionally, for sure.
Yeah. I just got to the part last night where that guy, Michael Ginsberg, who was, like, the Jewish copywriter who, like, lived with his dad, they put the computer in the office, and he, like, went insane and thought the computer was, like, trying to, like, turn everyone in the office into homosexuals, and he cut, like, a hole in his chest because he thought the computer put, like, a valve in there, and Peggy had to call, like, a mental institution to, like, come take him out of the office. It was so sad.
That is really sad. I don't remember that, really, and I wonder if that's, like, something that really happened in the 60s.
Well, so now, once I'm done, what part of this is real? Is any of it real? Is it all fictional?
It's all, like, based on, you know, different people and stories. It's not a true story by any means. I think Don Draper is, like, a mixture of a few different madmen of the 60s. But no, none of it is actually real. There might be, like, similar stories with, like, campaigns.
Yeah.
Ad campaigns. But it's not meant to be taken.
Yeah, okay, so I didn't think so, but it's just such an incredible show, and, like, now that it's winding down, I'm, like, appreciating every episode so much. Back to some more character evaluations, like, I cannot believe how much I have fallen in love with Pete Campbell. Like, he was such a little worm at first, and I don't agree with everything he does. He's very nuts, but he's so funny, even when he's not trying to be funny. He's so, like, grimy. His hairline is getting further and further and further and further from his eyebrows, like, with every episode that passes. He's just hilarious. And I don't think he's meant to trying to be funny, but there's something about his character that's actual, like, comedy genius.
Where is he now in his life?
He and Trudy are separated. He went to L.A. and he's, like, fucking around with that real estate agent, Bonnie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, the L.A. episodes are funny. What's up with Don?
Well, so he's been put on leave, and now he found out that the reason why they really want him out, he was, like, on a very downward spiral, but the reason why they wanted him out is because they're very close to getting a huge cigarette company, and the cigarette company will never work with Don.
Yeah.
So he just interrupted the meeting between Lou, Harry Hamlin, and the cigarette people, and, like, gave them, like, a whole speech about why he actually should work with them. And that's where the episode ended, because Ben wanted to go to bed, but I was up till 5, like, dying to know, like, did it work? Or, like, is he fired?
Wait, so what do you think about Harry Hamlin?
You know, I think he's a terrible actor. I really, really do. And maybe it's a curse of being on a reality show where I cannot see you as anything other than who you are. I don't know if that's why I feel like he's a bad actor, because he's so clearly not Mr. Cutler. He's Harry. He's making pies. Yeah. He's in Malibu.
Yeah.
Like, either he's a bad actor, or I just cannot think of him or see him as anything other than Harry Hamlin, Lisa Rinna's husband. I don't know, but something about it, I'm just not buying.
That's so interesting. And so do you agree with me that he's, like, such an ancillary character on the show?
Like, useless.
Okay.
I'm just, like, okay. I love so many of them. I'm, like, going to be sad when it's over. Like, I absolutely love Roger Sterling. Like, he's complex, but he's a good man.
Yeah, I love him too.
Same with Bert Cooper. Like, he doesn't really have a big role, but he's just, like, funny. And I don't know. I love Don. Don's secretary, who then got Joan's job when Joan became, you know, an account man. It's just, there's new characters being added all the time. And I just, like, we're like a family, you know, and I'm going to be really sad to see them go.
I'm in the same spot. I have about 4 more episodes or 3 more episodes of A Place to Call Home. I'll just never be the same after this show. Yeah. I really won't. And I think once your Mad Men hangover subsides, maybe you should start it, because it's a life-changing show. And if you guys are looking for something to get into and you've already watched Mad Men, you've already watched Desperate Housewives, A Place to Call Home is up there, top 3 for me. No, I said what I said.
I mean, it's
I
just,
said what I said.
It's one. It's like a big journey for me to start a show. It takes, like, a lot of convincing, but it takes a whole other level of convincing when I have to download a new app, Acorn.
Acorn TV, you guys. That's the app. $5.99 a month, 7-day free trial.
Oh, I have to pay for it?
Yep. If you want to bang out all the episodes in 7 days, you can get it for free.
Oh, hell no. Hell no.
Okay, I just want to say, like, It's worth its weight. And also the app has like all these other shows that we've never heard right. of before. Like it's a whole new can of whoop ass.
Maybe I will use your login if that's okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know. We're usually delivering them on YouTube. So if you want to watch us on YouTube, head over to youtube.com/themorningtoast. Subscribe, like the videos. You know what to do. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, the Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. We hope you have an amazing day. And just remember, justice for Ruthie.
Justice Goodbye. For Ruthie. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.